Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome into Long Meadow Church of the Brethren. And I'm departing. I hope the camera can catch me, but I'm going to depart from the norm this morning. Usually I start off our lead-in with a joke, and that's all well and good, but not this Sunday. This Sunday, my heart weighs heavy. And I saved this till we turn the camera on because a lot of people who watch this sermon have come to know Brother Charles. Even if it's by my voice, a picture of him, but during our drive to build his house, so many donations came in, so many people have continued to ask about him. So to the church family, both in this building and on the other side of it, and to those of you that will be watching this today, you know I'm going to post it on Facebook later. Charles is on Facebook. He's going to read the comments. So I'm going to ask you that you lift Brother Charles and the mission in Ghana, West Africa, the Word Alive mission up. First of all, I don't know how long ago it was. Charles got bit by a mosquito down there years ago and continues to suffer with malaria. Now, a lot of people don't think about that. You get a skeeter on your arm here, get off. That's it. But in that part of the world, malaria is real and prevalent. And once you have it, it doesn't go away. It comes back and goes and comes back and goes, and it is a constant drain on you. And Charles is recuperating from another flare-up from it again. So one prayer for Charles, because we sit here, right, in these buildings, cars, home, and there he is bringing those kids that are abandoned and raising up buildings and nursing facilities and an orphanage. And finally, after so many years of doing this, I think we've been involved with him for pretty near 30 years, long before I got here. Finally, after all these years, tragedy has finally visited that orphanage in a way that they have not dealt with before. One of the young orphans who is in his 12th grade, which means he's about to finish up school, Emmanuel is his name, was with a group of friends in town when a motorcyclist lost control and ran into this group of young people and killed one of them outright. And when hit Emmanuel, he went in the air and fell and hit his head, and he had to carry him to the hospital where he later died. This is a young man who hasn't had his time even measured out yet. And this orphanage has never experienced a loss quite like this. And going back and forth with Charles yesterday when he brought this to me, I didn't have to talk to him to hear the anguish of a young life taken so fast. So my desire this morning, before we start this service, is I'm going to offer up a prayer. But I would like each and every one of you in your daily walk to remember the Word Alive mission, to remember Ghana, to remember Brother Charles Nayani, and to remember this young man, Emmanuel. He was saved. He had accepted the Lord. As a matter of fact, if I think I read it correctly, he was looking toward becoming a missionary himself. Young life so full. And a situation with this orphanage where they have done so much to raise up these unwanted children to have experienced something like this for the first time. So on the other side of the camera, my plea to you is today, when the sermon goes up online in the comments, tell Charles you're praying for him. Let him know, because he needs it. His heart is broken. The whole mission is shook to their very core. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it's in these moments that we find the only thing that we have is you. That's it. The only thing that we truly can have knowledge of is you. Because you sent your Son Jesus to die for us, a life that was taken so that many would live. Father, we pray that Brother Charles continues on his recuperation. We pray that he is lifted up and strengthened from this fight with malaria. We pray that this young life, Emmanuel, that has now been committed back to you, will be a rally point, a focal point that the life of Christ lived within him, so that he would not leave in vain or leave without loss, that he would be remembered, that we would bring prayers and an overwhelming power of that prayer to that mission down there so that they would be secured and protected. We know that life continues on, and we know that these things happen, and we know it's all according to your will, and we find ourselves asking why and wondering, and Father, those questions will come forward yet again. But in all, it's you. We just pray for the missionaries, for the work, for the safety, for the nursing school, for everything there, Father, and ask that you would lift them up and bring them comfort in this time of struggle. Pray that your hand be upon your son Charles in the work that he does. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of his children said, Amen. Our sermon title today is called Measured Out. And we're going way back in the Bible to Lamentations chapter 3. We're going to rock it old school. Lamentations chapter 3, and we're going to start in the 22nd verse. And I'm going to give you a moment to find that. And while we do, I got to have a little bit of fun here. And I know we're on camera, so that's how it is. But Lynn Myers has his birthday today, and a card and love would be great to him. And Shirley Cunningham has hers. But Gene Dodson has a birthday this week as well. Happy birthday to you. Why do you shrug? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Gene. Happy birthday to you. Would you like to tell me what unit of measure we use to measure your age this day? You're being awful quiet. You're 25 for the second time?
How old am I? 79.
You're 79 years old?
Yes, and I'm trying not to count.
You don't look... What is in the water around here? And someday you guys need to get up off your chairs on the other side of that camera, come to this church, and see these people that claim to be this age. There's something going on around here. Because I'm 53. And I look 70. Toddy? You sure you want to walk into this arena? Lamentations chapter 3, for the sermon measured out, starting in the 22nd verse, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who seek. I'm sorry, the Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheek to the one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace. For men are not cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love, for he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men. Let us pray. Father, we ask that you would hear us. We have a little work to do today for this sermon, Father. We ask that these words that are coming from you would be strengthening, lifting, teaching, guiding, directing. But whatever is coming out today, Father, everyone needs to hear it. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, what is a unit of measurement? In our house, we have about 4,000 tablespoons, 10,000 teaspoons, a half a dozen measuring cups of all various sizes. And every time I go to cook something, I can never find the right one. I don't know where they go. They go in some drawer and they disappear. And yet, an hour later, I open the drawer and there they are again. I think we have like one of them black holes in our kitchen. Is it length, width, breadth, miles, yard, feet, centimeters, millimeters? The smallest possible size. Now, I've just learned this. The smallest possible size for anything in the universe. And no, this is not how you measure my attention span. It's called the Planck length, which is 1.6 by 10 to the 35th power meter across. Now, if you want to know what that's like, listen. It's equivalent to, this makes my head hurt, a millionth of a billionth of a billionth of a billionth of a billionth of a centimeter across, a decimal point followed by 34 zeros and a 1. This is the scale at which quantum foam is believed to exist. The laws of quantum physics cause minute wormholes to open and close. That would be my kitchen when I need a measuring tool. Giving space to rapidly changing foam-like structure. Now listen, if it were ever to exploit the tremendous energy of the quantum foam in a Planck length, then the power contained within 1 cubic centimeter of empty space would be enough to boil the oceans of the world. That's powerful and small. So what's the biggest? How do we measure what the biggest thing is? Well, the biggest supercluster in the universe is known as the, and I had to say this 3 times so I don't sound like a knucklehead, the Hercules Corona Borealis Great Wall. I'll say it again. The Hercules Corona Borealis Great Wall, and found back in 2013. It is so big that it takes 10 billion years to move across the structure of light particle. In other words, light takes 10 billion years to cross it. Now, if you're into all that and you believe some of these things, with the Earth being only 13 billion years old, that's pretty amazing. It first came to light by gamma ray bursts. It is a structure that is so large, it cannot be measured except to use bursts of energy and wait for 6 months for a return. That's a unit of measurement. And yet sometimes we get in the car and we have to drive somewhere and we have to go from Hagerstown to Frederick and we load the whole family in the car. And that trip seems like it's going to take 1 billion light years, doesn't it, guys? Because when you get in the car, immediately you start getting help with directions, right, from the side seat. You need to turn here. I know where I need to turn. So you see the unit of measurement starts to grow. Half an hour trip suddenly feels like 14 hours. And in the back seat is that famous phrase, isn't it? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Stop touching me. Oh, golly. All I wanted to do was go to town and get a hamburger. All because I couldn't find my measuring spoon to make mine. But that's all well and good about how you want to talk about things being measured out. But today I want to talk about how life is measured out. That's what the Lamentations writer is putting down. In the movie, We look at life now as how we measure it. In the great movie City Slickers, Billy Crystal plays a guy who sells radio time. And he's not having a very good day because he's just turned, I think it's 49 or something like that, and he's feeling like he's lost his life. He says he gets brought into his kid's classroom. And if you've ever seen the movie, you know the scene. He gets brought into his kid's classroom and they ask him what he does. He says, well, I sell air. You want to explain that? He goes, well, value this time in your life, kids. Because this is the time in your life when you still have choices. It goes by very fast. And when you're a teenager, you think you can do anything and you do it. Then your 20s are a blur. Your 30s, you raise a family, you make a little money, and you think to yourself, what happened to my 20s? In the 40s, you grow a pot belly and another chin. The music gets too loud. One of your old girlfriends from high school becomes a grandmother. In the 50s, you'll have minor surgery. You'll call it a procedure, but it's surgery. The 60s, you'll have major surgery. The music is loud, but it doesn't matter because you can't hear it anyway. The 70s, you and your wife retire to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. You start eating dinner at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You have lunch around 10 o'clock. Breakfast night before. Most of the time is spent wandering around the malls looking for the ultimate soft yogurt and muttering, how comes my kids don't call? How comes the kids don't call? And when in the 80s, you find yourself in a nursing home babbling to a Jamaican nurse who your wife can't stand, you don't understand, and you spend your time calling her Mama. Got any questions about how life is? And that's how he measures it out. And that situation took place this week, which pulled me to a stop. A couple of weeks ago, my sons graduated high school. And I got to listening to a 30-year-old father talk to me about his difficult life. He's got kids. The oldest kid, I think, is 8, 9. He says, all I do is go to work and come home, and I drive them here and I drive them there, and I go to soccer practice and baseball practice and ballet and karate, and we go to PTA meetings and we learn how to bake and we do this. And then on Saturdays I get up and I mow the lawn and I work on everything around the house. And on Sundays I get up and I clean up around the lawn. I say, well, you don't go to church on Sunday? And he goes, no. I said, why not? I don't have time. Really? Okay, what else is wrong? He goes, my kids are going to grow up and it's all going to be gone and I don't know how to slow down and so forth and so on. And it got me thinking, we start to put too much stock, too much faith in the world around us and what it has to be. Yeah, I get it. We have life and life rolls on and things get in the way. But this person was lamenting how fast things grow up and he began to lose sight. And here I am listening to that thinking, oh my goodness, bang! Right between the eyes. I have lost sight. He has lost sight. We lose sight. And the Lamentations writer is bringing us back to reality. And not in a good way. The whole book of Lamentations is a book of frustration. It is a book of, because you wouldn't pay attention, this is what happened. And now you have to wait until things get better when God decides. That's what the book is about, the entire book. You sit back for a moment, go back to that whole beginning in the 22nd verse. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. That's a beginning warning. That's a reminder that regardless of whatever else you've tried in your life, God's love has not left. And he measures it out accordingly. Lamentations writer goes on. He says, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore I will wait for him. That's where we need to stop right out of the gate. Every morning, regardless of what happened the day before, regardless of what happened the night before, regardless of what is staring at us right in the beginning of that morning, God's love starts all over again, as strong as it ever was, measured out fully and without stopping. And oh, how wonderful it would be if we would take that morning and remind ourselves of that. That's where we start from. That's where the writer is starting from. That's where I, Paul Leatherman, need to start from. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord down there in verse 26. The Lamentations writer is telling us that the afflictions that we are bearing are what they are. Let's name some of them, shall we? I do this from time to time. And the reason I do this from time to time is because I am just like the preacher who continually preached the same sermon. Somebody asked my dad one time, what are you going to preach about this Sunday? Well, the same thing every Sunday, just from a different angle. And somebody might say, Paul, you just talked about that a couple Sundays ago. Okay, which Sunday was it? There's an old joke about a preacher who got up one Sunday morning and he preached a sermon. And everybody's like, oh, that just wonderful preacher. Boy, I tell you, you shelled down the corner. The next Sunday he came to church and preached the same sermon. And they were like, oh, okay, well, maybe he didn't have time to write. The third Sunday, same sermon. What's going on? The fourth Sunday, same sermon. The deacons and all of them gathered him up before he got out there and they said, you've been preaching the same sermon for four Sundays. And the preacher looked at him and said, yeah, tell me what it was about. Crickets. We have to remind ourselves. What are the things that are going to beat at us? Illness, sickness, work, family, life, money, troubles, church. Existing, desire, fear, awkwardness, anxiety. All of it. And yet the Lamentations writer is telling us we are living in that because that's how it is. But the Lord every morning measures out His love all over again. Whatever you've poured out that day before, you get brand new every day. Every day, every day you wake up and the God that saw fit to give you breath gives you brand new love. Man, I would love that. I would love to be able to go to the refrigerator in the morning and open that door up and go, that milk carton filled itself back up again last night. By golly, I love that. And oh, let me have a little glass of that. Oh man, that's fresh out the cow. Don't get that, do you? What happens to the milk carton if you got a house full of kids? It goes down to that point right there and stops. And then everybody looks at it because nobody wants to take it out the refrigerator and throw it away and write it back down on the list. It's the same thing with the water bottle in our refrigerator. Big water bottle, cold water all the way down to here. And it stops because somebody knows they got to refill it. I would love to open that refrigerator door up in the morning. Fresh cold water. It's not life. What we do have is when we open these up in the morning, God is already there. Here, let me give this to you this morning. Let me put this in your life. Let me give you this love. Let me remind you to stop for a moment. Let me remind you that here I am again today. When you went to sleep last night after what happened to you, when you woke up this morning, I'm right here sitting on the edge of the bed ready to hold on to you yet again. Because they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. Measured out. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the ones who seek him. That would be us. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he was young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. That means what you have to do to get through each day is that yoke. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. I'll explain that line to you. Because you're going to be head down working and dragging through the day, there is still hope at the end of it. Let him offer his cheek to the one who would strike him and let him be filled with disgrace. For men are not cast off by the Lord forever. That's a measured out. Not cast off by the Lord forever. He's always there. And when we're ready to return, that's where he's at. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men. The Lord does not want us to hurt. The Lord wants us to know, I'm here. Every morning I'm going to measure it out. Now what you do with it, that's up to you. You can take it, you can use it, you can ignore it, you can walk through it. But he painted a picture of what it's like to live the life that Christ gave us. That's the prelude to a scripture way off in the future that got written later on. Go to Mark chapter 10. I'll wait. This is important. Open the Bibles back up, because if you close them, then you're not using the Bible like a parachute, right? It only works when it's open. Mark chapter 10. This little teeny tiny story is the picture of a life measured out by God through Jesus Christ. And we always use it for one particular angle. And it's that time of the year, isn't it? Vacation Bible school. Learn how to look up them verses, sing them little songs, you know. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Well, anyhow, you know the song. Mark 10, verse 13. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them. But the disciples rebuked them, and when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. There's a picture so beautiful there. I'll see if I can paint it. Jesus is ministering to thousands. The disciples around him are trying to insulate him because they think they have Jesus' best interest at heart. It's kind of funny when you think about it, right? Son of God, yet we're going to tell you, Son of God, what's best to do. And people who just wanted to see him, who wanted the children to touch him, were bringing him to them. Bringing them to him. And there he sits on a rock or a stool or whatever it was. And he's sitting down there and they bring these little children. And the disciples forgot what's being measured out. The love of God. And all they see is these dirty children that want to climb on his lap and they want to run him away. And Jesus in that moment gives us the picture of heaven. When we approach the throne of God dirty, we're not turned away. And he gathers them up. Hey, stop it. Bring them here. Look at this. This is how you approach God with this faith, with this beauty. How it's measured out right here and accepted. And he puts them on his lap. And he holds on to them. And he loves on them. And he blesses them. And he reminds us that we need to receive the kingdom of heaven like children. Desiring, wanting, needing that measured out to us. Not thinking we know it already. When I was a kid, what got measured out to me was coins or a dollar bill or something like that, so I could go get some candy or squander it on something stupid like Magic Eraser, you know, the thing that came in an eggshell where you could copy the cartoons on it, whatever that was called, that magic goo. What was that thing called? Silly put. Ain't no wonder I can't remember how old I am. Remember that silly putty? You came with that tube, right? And you could ball it up and blow stuff out. And you're supposed to be able to shape it up. And what happened? You spent a dollar and a half on it. You started blowing. And it blew apart. And then it wouldn't do anything. And you always left it lay out. And it dried up. And it wouldn't pick up nothing. When you put it down on the paper. And you said, "Look, Dad, I'm going to show you what a cartoon looks like on silly putty." And you whipped it away. You took part of the newspaper with you. And there it was all smeared up in that. And all your dad or your mom would do is stand there and look at you and go, "Uh-huh. Told you." When I was a teenager, it was a paycheck, so I could gas up the car and get away. Go out on adventures, right? As long as I was home by 11 o'clock. And then later on, when I was old enough, I got warned. You better be home in time to get enough sleep to get up and milk in the morning. Because if you miss milking in the morning, as an adult, the things that were measured out, when I decided the woman that I loved, I wanted to make her my wife. And I had to wait till she finally saw things the way I did and said yes. Took that a little while. And then the kids. And I waited how things would be measured out to when they would grow up. And I began to see what life truly is. It's measured out in ways, in moments, in time. Why? Because it is a constant lesson to teach us that the Lord is there, that He loves us, that He has never failed us, and there is no greater gift or no greater way to look at it than who died on that cross. J.S. Baxter wrote a poem from his writings, Explore the Book. He says, He never fails the soul that trusts in Him. Their disappointments come and hope burns dim. He never fails. Though trials surge like stormy seas around, though testings fierce like ambushed foes abound, yet this my soul with millions more has found, He never fails, He never fails. He never fails the soul that trusts in Him. Though angry skies with thunder clouds grow grim, He never fails. Though icy blasts life's fairest flowers lay low, though earthly springs of joy all cease to flow, yet still 'tis true, with millions more I know, He never fails, He never fails. He never fails the soul that trusts Him. Though sorrow's cup should overflow the brim, He never fails. Though often the pilgrim way seems rough and long, yet shall I stand amid white-robed throng, and there I'll sing with millions more this song He gave to me. He never fails, He never fails. He measured out my life. No matter what, it's always the same. In the movie Hoosiers, anybody ever seen that movie? It's a wonderful movie. These kids from some corn scratch town in Indiana wind up at the state championship, and they take them to the big school, and they go inside a real gymnasium with a real floor and lots of bleachers and lights and all this. And these kids from corn scratch Iowa or Nebraska, I don't even know what town, Indiana, Illinois, who knows? One of them out there. They stand around and they're like, and Gene Hackman plays the coach. He walks in and he goes, hey! And he puts a short one on top of the shoulders of a tall one, one of his boys. He says, walk over to that net. Take this tape measure. Drop that thing down. How much is measured? Whatever it is, I don't know, 50 feet. Yep, same as the one back home. Get down off of him. Measure this floor this way. How much is measured? I don't know, whatever it is. Yep, same as the floor back home. Nothing is different. It's all measured out the same. It's all in how we will apply ourselves today. We will win this game. We are measured out constantly. How we use it, how we see it, that's to us. He never fails. Jonathan Edwards, in his book, The Religious Affections, writes this. 'Tis not God's design that men should obtain assurance in any other way than by mortifying corruption and increasing in grace and obtaining the lively exercises of it. And although self-examination be a duty of great use and importance, and by no means to be neglected, yet it is not the principal means by which the saints do get their satisfaction of their good estates. Assurance is not obtained so much by self-examination, but by what's given to us and the actions we use it. By what's measured out we use. They are new every morning. Tomorrow morning we will wake up. Tomorrow morning we will hit the ground again. Tomorrow morning I encourage you to hear the words. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for Him. Measure it out, Lord. I'm ready. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for leading us and guiding us. We thank you for being there constantly, all the time. We thank you that the greatest measure of salvation given out was your Son, Jesus. We thank you that you didn't hold any of it back, but you measured it out fully. And that by His death, by His grace, by His mercy, by His blood, we are saved. We do not walk around in this world living in a fear, trying to get into heaven. We walk around in this world living in an understanding that we fear you righteously, that we look upon you humbly, that we wait for that to be measured out fully, knowing that that which we use, placing our hope in you, shows us our ultimate reward, our place with you, Father, away from this world forever. We thank you for the measure of Jesus Christ. In His name we pray.